We thank the Lord this morning for his goodness to us and how he's been blessing everyone through the week, doing miracles on our behalf. You know, he does those things for us every week. We just don't always know about them. The devil would like to kill us every day. He would like to cause something to go wrong every single day. He would like to torment us, but the Lord doesn't let him. He controls how much the enemy can come against us, and I'm thankful for that. The Lord's been dealing with me about a series of messages on faith. And so we're going to start with part one this morning. And the pray for me, because the Lord is laying out some things that I've never thought of before. So I need the Lord's help to be able to get it out to us clearly, so that we can understand. But the first thing that he talked about was faith to be saved. Faith to be saved. In Genesis 2:7, it said, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God created us. He formed Adam out of clay, and then he breathed into him, and he became something that he hadn't been before. He became a living soul. God's breath entered man in starting all the things, the intricate things that are going on inside of our body. He started it working. But the most important thing that he did is that he made us a living soul.
That's right.
A soul that is always going to be attached to God, going to have a yearning towards God, going to have a sense of needing something more than I have. The devil came in behind and spoiled it. But the truth is that we have a little bit of faith in us from beginning. From the beginning. We have a little bit of faith in us. God put it there. Our soul needs to be connected to God, yearns for God. Our soul is needing, I'm trying to explain this the way the Lord gave it to me, and I'm struggling, help me. God wants us to realize that faith is how everything is done in the gospel. It's how everything that affects our life is done is through faith. And there are a lot of people that say, "I don't have faith. I don't have faith." Yes, you do. You just haven't exercised it. You haven't exercised it. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, you lose the use of it. And that's what faith is like. It needs to be exercised. And that's all it is. When God made man and he put that soul in him, he became that living soul that is connected to God. Do you know that soul is not satisfied out there in the world and in sin? It's always looking for something new, looking for something that will satisfy, looking for some kind of peace, some kind of satisfaction. That soul is constantly looking. That's why people are constantly in upheaval in the world. They have no finished, so to speak, finished product. They're always looking for the next best thing, the next, you know, thing that will inspire me, the next thing that will give me pleasure, the next thing. They're always looking for the next thing. But what we have found in God is that you arrive at what you've been looking for. You arrive there. And then you realize, oh, this is what I was looking for. I didn't know exactly that that was it, but it was. So God follows us through our lives. And in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Substance, foundation, confidence, assurance. See, faith is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the conviction of things not seen. You don't see faith. Faith is something that God, when he breathed into us and made us a living soul, he gave us the capacity to have faith in him. We have faith in a lot of things. People say, I don't have faith. I don't have any faith. Oh, yes, you do. You have faith that the sun's coming up tomorrow. You have faith that there's going to be so many hours of darkness, so many hours of light. You have faith to believe that when you get up tomorrow, things are going to be going pretty much the same way they went today. You have faith for that. You believe that's the way it's going to happen. And God gave you that. Why? Because there's evidence. The sun does come up every morning. And this happens, and our life pretty much stays on a road that it's on. We, of course, can make changes along the way, and we're expected to. But it keeps going in the same vein. We don't wake up suddenly one day, and everything is different. Except in salvation, of course. Then everything can be different. But what is happening is that people are saying, I don't have faith to believe. You know, they're saying, I don't know if I believe in God. The very fact that they say, I don't know if I believe in God, says that, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Why would they say that? Why wouldn't they just say, there is no God? That isn't what most people say. They say, I don't believe in God. Because it's just a belief that I have. It's just kind of a thought process that I've had. Do you know, in order to have faith, we have to lay down our thought processes and begin to accept God's thought processes? His all lead towards faith, and ours all lead away from it. And so we have to start laying them down. And the first one that we laid down was when we were out there and we were saying, oh, I don't think I can be saved, and I don't have the faith, and I don't think I can give up this, and I don't think I can do that, and all these things. And we thought, we don't have any faith. But you know something? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Because that soul that God made that is inside of us, God just keeps working with that soul. Just keeps working with it and working with it and working with it. Working with the inside of us, who we really are. Just keeps working with us and working with us to build what? To build faith, to build belief, to build a structure to where I can finally get back to God. He made a way for us to be able to get back to God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It says, by the elders, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, it's very mysterious, isn't it? People have been trying to figure it out for centuries. They're trying to discover new things all the time. We're always having new discoveries about something that God made. Something that God made. It's a new discovery for us. It's a wonderful thing to have new discoveries, but they act like the discovery itself is something. No, it's just evidence of something. And they don't look at it as evidence. They look at it as some new thing, and then they try to figure out, how can I link this new thing up with my beliefs? How can I do that? Because, see, I have formed my beliefs. I have been, and we get them from everywhere. We get them from where we grow up. We get them from our teachings. We get them from people around us. We get them from society. We get them from school. We get beliefs from all kinds of places. And how easy is it for people to have faith in all these other beliefs? They have faith in them. But the one true God's hard for him. I just don't know about that. You know why? It's because God doesn't fight against us. He fights for us. And the enemy fights against us. And so anything that would lead to God, the enemy fights against and tries to change that and disguise it and make it into something different and try to give another reason for it, try to give another explanation for it, so that you won't know that it's God working faith in you. But all of us, listen, all of us came to a day. All of us that are saved came to a day where faith broke forth in your heart and soul. It broke forth because you said, I'm going to be saved. What does that mean? That means that faith was working all along the way. Faith, it was maturing. It was coming to a place to where you could get a hold of and get faith to believe that I can do this simple act of kneeling before God, saying a prayer, words, just words, saying and confessing my sins, asking for forgiveness, and I can get up somebody different. Do you know what kind of faith that is? Do you know that is faith to believe that that can happen in you? And people say, oh, I don't have the faith. I don't have the faith for this. I don't have the faith for that. Oh, no, no, no. You have the faith. Because to get saved takes faith. And God, without your understanding, has worked it in you. Without your full cooperation, has worked it in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's worked it in you to bring you to a place to where I have faith that this simple act, I can be saved. In Hebrews, going down a little further in the 11th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that what happened? We had faith to believe that God is. Because you wouldn't come to something that you didn't believe in. And yet, I don't know how about you, but I don't know about anybody else, but I know how the enemy was coming in my mind and the thoughts that were coming to me, even as I was getting to a place to be saved, the enemy was fighting them all along the way, and I was to a place to where, do I believe, do I not believe, do this, do that, you know, you're going back and forth, you're having all of these issues in your head, in your mind, but God is just steadily trying to pour in evidence and faith, you know, that's the substance and the evidence of faith, just trying to pour it in. And we look around. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when we have good examples that we can look at. Oh, what a blessing that is. I mean, teachers all know that if they can get a visual in a child's mind, that that's going to do more than the written page. To get a visual. And that's what God is doing. Sometimes he has put visuals in front of us. And sometimes it isn't always somebody that's living right, but it can be somebody that is claiming Christ but living wrong. And that's a visual. And you realize that isn't right. And when you realize that that's not right, do you know that that's faith? You have faith to believe that's not right? How did you get that? How did you get that faith to believe that I know that's wrong? I may not know what's right, but I know that's wrong. That's faith. Because God did it. God pours faith into us. It's not something we work for. It's something that he does. It's his foundation. It's his job to prove and have that. It's his job. It's such a wonderful thing that God does for us, just for us to be saved. The enormity of the faith it takes to be saved. There are so many people that aren't. Way more people that aren't than are. The enormity of the faith. You're already a select group. You're already a select group. Now God's trying to pour faith into all these different people. And he gets a lot. He goes pretty far with a lot of them. But they, of course, they always get to exercise their free will. And they get to go against all of the evidence and different things that God's popping up in their life here and there and everywhere that's supposed to give them faith to know what they need to do. And they're fighting all against it. But the enormity of the faith that we have, that this simple words, prayed to somebody we don't see, somebody we've never seen, somebody that is vague and out there, and I don't know what they look like, and I don't know where they live, and I have a vague idea. It's called something, but I don't know what happens there. Or do you know all the things you don't know? And yet, God poured enough faith into you to believe that I can simply come and pray to this being that I basically don't know very much about, and everything can change. It's a wonderful thing, the faith that God pours into us. All right, it says that we know he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that what we find out? Isn't that the kind of faith we get? The kind of faith that says, I just can't play around with this. I got to make some changes here. I got to do some things different because, well, how do I know that? How do I know that's what I have to do? God pours in faith that helps you to believe that you know. Do you see what I'm trying? What I'm trying to get, what God was trying to get to me and what I'm trying to get to you, and I don't know if I'm doing a good job. But what I'm trying to say is that God is the author of it all. And that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he is the one that pours in the faith. He pours it into you. All you have to do is exercise. That's all you have to do. It's there. It's there already. You just have to exercise it. God gave it. It's the way he works with mankind and humanity. This is what he does. So, then if you drop down a little further in this faith chapter, it starts talking about how Noah found faith, and there was faith that did this and faith that did that. And it takes you on this journey through the Bible saying it was faith, 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 faith. You mean they had faith before Jesus? Yes, they did. How did they get it? God poured it in. There were some people that answered faith. We have records of the different ones that answered in faith throughout the Bible. God was trying to get a lot of people to answer that way. We have records of a few. No doubt there were many more that we have no records of, but still, there they were. All down through time. He starts in this chapter and he starts pouring out all these different ones that were in faith. And then you get down to the 33 and 34th verse. And it says, who through faith, this is what they did. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. You mean they did that in the Old Testament too? Yes, they did, because it's faith-based. Wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of aliens. Fought off the devil and every other power that came against him. God did this for us. He blessed us. He poured in the faith. He poured the faith into them. He pours it into us. We just have to exercise it. Let it out. Let it work. Use it. But it says all these things they did, God led them in faith. He led them in faith. We have one that's called the father of faith. How did that happen? If faith is something you only get after you're saved, and you have to struggle even to get it then, and oh, I don't have faith for this, and I don't have faith for that. How did they get it? We have salvation. They didn't have salvation. How did they get it? Because God poured it in, just like he does for us. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. So in Hebrews 12:2, it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. the author and the finisher. He was there in the beginning when he was there in the creation, in the beginning, and the finisher. He came here on the earth, proved that all of it could be done, went back to heaven, and someday he's going to come back as the judge and finish the whole thing. But he's the author and finisher of our faith. Now, wouldn't it be sad if God expected human beings to be on the same level as he is? They're not on the same level. But he knew he had to do his part. His part is to pour in what we need, this faith that we need to operate in his kingdom, do what he needs. He gave us what we needed in order to be able to even get to him. He did that. If God just put us here on the earth and then just shut up heaven's doors and windows and didn't look on us anymore and just left us to our own devices, would we have any faith? No, it comes from him. He pours it in. We wouldn't discover things. We wouldn't understand things. None of the things that have come to creation, it's because of God's care. It's because of God's watchfulness and care for us. And because of the faith that he knew we were going to have to believe in an unseen God. And that we were going to have to believe that he authored it, he's finishing it. We were going to have to believe that he rewards those that really seek him. But God gave us everything we needed to be able to do that. Why is it that people can come and be saved and get down before God and say, Lord, I want you in my life? They don't even know what that means. They don't know what that's going to feel like. They don't know what that's going to translate like in their bodies, in their minds. They have no idea what all that means. And they get up, and some of them testify, I didn't have any more desire for cigarettes. How did that happen? Because they sure couldn't conquer it before. And they didn't have it before. Because God just pours in. See, he pours in. And you know what they think? He pours in faith. And you know what they think? I don't think I have to smoke today. And when the devil brings it to their mind, they're not smoking. And the devil brings it, oh, don't you want a cigarette? And they think, no, I really don't. How did they get that? It's a miracle of faith. It's faith working. It's faith work. Everything that we do works by faith. But faith comes from God. It is not some elusive place that we have to get to in our mind and we have to forge after and we have to... As in some religions, you know, whip ourselves and beat ourselves and cut ourselves and all these things in order to gain this wonderful thing of faith. No. God just pours it in. You just take it and exercise it. It's just learning. You just learn. You learn something. You say, oh, this is displeasing to God. Sometimes we say, Lord, how am I going to change this? This is such a part of me. This is who I am. This is my identity. This is everything about me. Lord, how am I? But this is displeasing to you. How is this going to happen? Works by faith. I get down and I say this little prayer. Lord, this isn't pleasing to you. And I need help. I need help. And I get up different. Why? Because I did something great? Why? Because in an instant, a twinkling of an eye, my mind became educated and understanding flowed in. And I got all the reasoning that I needed to understand about it. Is that what happened? None of that happens. Half the time, we don't even know what we're asking for. But faith flows in. And God gives you the desires of your heart, and you don't even know what they all are. But it works by faith. You have great faith. So in John 3, there's a story of Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? Oh, Jesus had been going around. He'd been preaching and healing and doing all these things. And Nicodemus is a staunch Jew. And he is a worshiper of God. And he has been following the scriptures that they had. He's been following the law. He is a member in good standing. And here he is. He's privy, no doubt, to all of the leaders, elders, maybe he was a leader, I'm not sure, of their hatred for Jesus. And they're wanting to kill him and making plots and plans, trying to trip him up in his words and all these things. And he's privy to this. And he's watching the elders and the rulers having a problem with him. And he's watching all the common people flocking to him. And he's confused. He's confused. But he comes to Jesus, and he came by night. No doubt didn't want to be seen. Because I don't know. If I'm seen with Jesus, they're going to start questioning me. I might get put out of the synagogue. All these different things. He didn't know what to believe, what to think. But he did tell him one thing. He says, nobody can do what you do and not be associated with God. Isn't that what happens? Listen, all through our lives, we have run into people. And we have known nobody can be like that unless God has something to do with that. Because they're so different from the regular, normal human beings. Their thought processes, everything about them is so different. You realize that nobody can do this except that they're in contact with God. And that's God trying to get a hold of your faith and trying to help you to see there are others out here that have this kind of faith. You can have the same kind of faith. I'm giving it to you. It's given to you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we have to work for faith. Nowhere. So he's come, and then he says, Jesus says to him in the third verse, John 3, 1 through 21 is where we're at. In the third verse, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? How can this happen? I'm confused. My mind is trying to make sense of it. Oh, don't you know that that's what our mind was doing, trying to make sense of it when we were out there in sin? Trying to make sense of the urges and all the things that were overtaking us, leading us down worse and worse roads, all the things that were against us and all the things we were doing, and we're trying to make sense of it. We try to say, okay, I try to rally and say to myself, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. But we find out that that doesn't last very long, and that we're found doing something very akin to it anyway, and it leads down the same path. It may just be called something else, but it's still not satisfying. And all these things, all these questions we have in our mind, all these things. Do you remember how confused your mind was when you were out there in sin? How confused you were to understand God. Understand his ways. To be able to get a hold of him. And yet, there was this yearning all the time for someone, something more. And God is pouring in faith, and he's trying to lead you down a certain path. The enemy is fighting against every kind of faith that God tries to lay down in your path. He's fighting against every one of those places where he's trying to give you faith. And that's what was happening to Nicodemus. he's understanding some things, and then when Jesus said what he said, because I'm assuming he was looking for, well, yes, I am come from God, and he just wanted the whole thing of what was happening here. And Jesus says, well, you have to be born again. He's going, what? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, when it's talking about the Spirit here, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. We're not being born of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's been working with us all these times. All these ways that God has dealt with this has been done through the Holy Spirit working in around us all the time. But did you know that the Jewish religion, when other people left their religions and they came to the Jews, did you know that they baptized proselytes? They baptized proselytes. Baptism with John was not something new. They baptized proselytes into the Jewish religion. So now, what John did makes a little more sense, doesn't it? He's baptizing them, the Jews, out of the Jewish religion. They're proselyting them into the new, where they're supposed to be. Think about it. And do you know that the Jewish leaders understood what they were doing? Because that's what they did. So they understood it. So, we have to be, it says, we're born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It says, the wind... Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In other words, when you're born of the Spirit, you can't see the Spirit. You can't see the Spirit. You can only see the evidence of the Spirit. Now, what is faith? Evidence. What is the Spirit? The evidence. The change in our lives that the Spirit rots inside of us is the evidence of the faith that we have embraced. We exercise it. We hear the Spirit. We hear that voice but see, this is the thing. When we get saved, it's not a new voice. We've been hearing that voice all along. That voice has been saying, don't do that. Even out in sin, he was saying, don't do that. You'll be sorry if you do that. You know, so-and-so told you should never do that. You heard all that times, right? So this is not a new voice all of a sudden. See, God was trying to pour in faith and evidence all along the way to where I am convinced by the time I get to an altar of prayer, I am convinced that is wrong, and I want this. I have faith to believe that is all wrong, and I need what is right in my life. That's the evidence. We don't see the Spirit. The wind comes, blows in the trees, you know, blows in the trees. We see the evidence of it. The trees are moving. If you're driving in a car, your car is being pushed. That's evidence, but you can't see it. You can sometimes see it when it kicks up dust. You can see exactly where it's at. But otherwise, you can't see it. It comes and goes. You can't notice it. There was one battle that I think it was David fought in the Old Testament that God told him to go and hide. And when the trees moved, it was time to attack. And so they sat there and high, and then God took a wind, made the tops of those trees moved, and they attacked and won the battle. It's evidence. This wonderful, wonderful Spirit that we can't see. But the greatest miracle of all is the fact is that we already have the faith to believe it before we come. We already have faith to believe before we're saved that we can be saved. That's what people, we've had people come in among us. We had the one man that came the one day and he had been drinking, and my husband and I went and took him in the other room. And he, what did he come for? He had faith to believe that if he could get to God, he could quit drinking. He says, I have a bottle right here in my bag and I'm going to drink this whole bottle unless God can do something for me right here. See, he already had an understanding. He already had faith. He just needed to exercise it. Now, exercising of faith could have looked like, I'm taking this bottle and I'm going to pour it out. And then I want you all to pray that I can get what I need. You see what I'm saying? That's an exercise. People throw out their cigarettes. They dump out bottles of liquor. They flush things down the toilet. You know what I'm saying? They gather up things in a bag and throw them in the trash. Why? Because they understand. Faith tells them that I can't have these things sitting around, because that's not exercising faith, because I can turn back to it anytime I want to. Exercising faith is completely walking away from it and saying, no more. No more. That's the exercise. God already gave it. He already gave it. You just have to exercise it. So, Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Because Nicodemus had just said to him, how can these things be? Verily, I am saying to you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. And if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In other words, Nicodemus, you can't even understand heavenly things yet. I can't tell you of heavenly things. You won't even understand. You need the first thing. The first thing is to have belief that I can come to Jesus. I can do it. I can come to Jesus. He had already done that. He had already exercised faith to come. He had already done that. God had already poured in faith into him. He's standing there struggling, trying to understand, what am I even doing here? But he came. God had poured this in, and he's struggling and standing there and wondering how he's going to do all of this and how it's supposed to be. But he wants all the answers. He wants this answer and that answer and this and that. And Jesus is telling him, you can't even understand it. You have to exercise the first step. You have to get there first. Then you can start to understand some deeper things. Then he goes on. This is what he tells him. He says, I've told you of earthly things and you believe not. How should you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? People deny the evidence of things around them. Don't they? They have a grandpa that's dying of emphysema because he smoked all of his life. They're denying the evidence and they're smoking. You see what I'm saying? They're denying evidence that God has put before them in their own families, in their own lives, in the people around them, in situations. God has poured out evidence how this works, what it leads to, how you get there. He has poured out all this evidence. Some of it we grasp and we say, okay, if I walk down that path, I could end up there. You know, so I'm not going to ever touch him. I'm not going to ever touch those cigarettes. And some people do that. They just never take the first one because they saw evidence. See, God is pouring faith into them to believe that you don't have to do everything out there. You don't have to do this. You can start walking towards me. You can start taking steps away from the world and towards me. You can do this. He's pouring that into them, this evidence, all the time. It says, so, let me see, where am I at? 12. So then, 12? Yes. So at 13, he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Nicodemus wanted answers. He said, you can't even understand the answers. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain it to you here in 3 sentences. I'm going to explain the whole thing. But you aren't going to get it. You aren't going to understand it. Because you have to go through some things. I have to take you through some place and through some things before you can totally comprehend what this says. And some of it was the future. He was telling him about the future. Do you know that God sometimes tells us about the future and we ignore it? He puts evidence in front of us. This is what you're looking at for the future. And we ignore it. We do that in choosing life companions sometimes. You see evidence. Some evidence that maybe this isn't quite right, that isn't quite right. But this is who I want. But we see evidence. God is trying to help us, trying to show us things. Even out there in sin, trying to open up things. We see evidence all the time. It's faith. Faith. Faith is working in the earth all the time, all around us. God is proving himself, proving right, good from evil, doing all those things. And it all comes of faith. And we can take a hold of faith. Some faith we can even take a hold of in sin. And see the evidence and walk a different way. The devil's going to contest you. And you may not have some power that you need, but you've got evidence. You've got evidence. You understand it. You see it. You get it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For it to be exposed and shown to you? What if it was never exposed? What if you never saw any evidence of anybody having any problems with cigarettes or drugs or alcohol? What if you never saw any evidence of that? Everybody just looks like they're happy. What if you never saw the evidence of the thing where it ends? But God takes time to explain all the whole thing, everything about it. So then it goes on. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I didn't send him to here to be a judge. He's not a judge right now. He was not a judge. He came to expose the enemy and to draw men to repentance. That's what he came for. He wasn't a judge. He wasn't trying to be a ruler. They kept trying to make him a judge. They kept bringing people to him and trying to get him to say this and trying to get him to condemn that and everything. And that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to come and save. And faith. People got faith. They got faith. They began to walk in new understanding and new light. There was this changeover that took place. And we don't understand all of what happened. But they began to change and make changes. And it came to salvation. But there was a period there where there was a changeover. And we could look back on it and say, I don't know how that all worked. Do you know what? God doesn't need to tell us how it all worked. It all worked by faith. People got a hold of faith. They got a hold of faith. They didn't even see Jesus die yet. He hadn't even died for their sins yet. But they got a hold of faith that there was a time coming, even the prophets, there was a time coming when you could be different. And they got a hold of it. And people got a hold of it when they started being baptized and all, and confessing their sins and being baptized. They began to get a hold of the faith that it was going to take them for to go all the way on in and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were understanding it. But it all worked by faith. And then it says, in the 19th verse. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. How is it that everybody knows when they're doing bad things to hide? How do they know that? How do they know that? How do they know that this is a bad thing? How do they get that? See, it comes through faith. God gives evidence. He convinces. He makes an assurance. He gives you a foundation of what's wrong and what's right. It comes through faith that you understand what is going on here. This is a bad thing. It comes through faith. And he deals with all mankind in faith, trying to exercise and help them to understand, sends faith their way to help them to understand what's right and what's wrong, and lead them to Christ, to his Son. That's what he's trying to do. It says, they hate the light. Why? Because they don't want their deeds reproved. They don't want anybody saying anything. Now, how did they know somebody was going to say something? They already have evidence. See, they already have evidence. Faith has already taught them that this is bad, and somebody's going to say so-and-so-and-so about it, so I'm going to hide it, so they don't know, so I don't have to hear it. They already have faith. They already understand it. They've already got it. But he that turns to the light, and that that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, this is the thing. This is what is so good. God gives us the faith to believe that if I will look at myself honestly and just say, I'm wrong, that I can get rid of it. Amen. God gives that faith. Because you said you were wrong lots of times out in sin. In your head, you knew you were wrong. You knew you were lying. You knew you weren't representing the truth. You knew a lot of things, but it didn't make you change or anything. But see, those that are coming to the truth, to the light, to the understanding, that are letting the faith and the evidence that God is flowing into their life, letting it work for them, they come to the light. And they get to the place to where they realize faith does this. It works by faith that I can come to an unseen God, and I can pour out my heart before him, and I can ask for a new life. I can ask for forgiveness of all the things I've done before. I can ask for this new life, and I can have it. Such wonderful faith. Such faith in an unseen God. Don't know hardly anything about him. But faith, see, has been pouring in and talking to me, and faith has been coming and proving and reproving, and all faith. God, he works by faith. Everything he does is through faith. That whole chapter is about faith. Through faith they did this. Through faith they did that. They were burned. Through faith they were sawn asunder. Through faith they did this. They were able to take it, able to go through. So they didn't renounce. It's all through faith. They exercised their faith. They exercised it. There are people in this day and age that are exercising faith and having their heads cut off. They're being killed in front of their families and children and everything. They're exercising faith that my God can do this. My God can bring me to this kind of a place. My God will rescue me. If not from their sword, from this earth. That's what the Hebrew children said. See, faith worked in them. Faith worked in them. Said, doesn't matter which way it goes. Either way, we're going to be delivered. We're going to be either delivered completely out of your hand, you know, or we're going to go to heaven, and then we'll definitely be delivered. So everything works by faith. It's already working. You don't ever have to feel like I don't have faith. Because it's not true. It's not true. The devil whispers that in our ear. He tells us we don't have faith. He tells us you don't believe. He tells you those things. And you can agree with him. But the truth is, you have faith. You have faith. You're saved. It took magnificent faith to come to God and be saved. Because it's unseen. But faith was pouring in all the time, all this evidence before you. You already have faith. We should never say, I don't have faith for that. We should never say that. God has the faith. He's pouring in the faith. All we have to do is exercise it. And we have faith to come to the Lord and be saved. Those of us that are saved had faith to believe. That little prayer changed our lives. And it has proved out. We have the evidence of it. And what has it done? It's increased our faith. Because we have more and more evidence every day. But we had the evidence when we came. We already had the faith when we came. We exercised it. That's how we got saved. So we have this great faith. Part one, faith to be saved. Amen.
Same 2:8-7.